Reflections with me, Kara Reed, NEH, Africa Town Project, my podcast, my reflections, my thinking about teaching, my thinking about process, my reflection on this week, and all that. So, some of the reflections that I have are the depth, the emotion, the awareness. You know, I come to this work, I come to this teaching through, in the eighth grade, I read Roots, and I was drawn to read that book because I felt like I was not getting the information from my educational experience. So, I've always gone back to, looking at the Middle Passage. I've always gone back to, you know, the idea that we need to learn about this in a very, very intentional way. I refuse to learn, take U.S. history in high school because George Washington was a slaveholder. And I was really, for most of my life, I've been very adamant about learning as much as I can about humanizing the Middle Passage and understanding what went on. And even yet and still, as we finished our first day, energetically, knowing, having a lot of background knowledge, it's still very, very hard and very important, right? It's very important that we teach this like we do the Holocaust. It's very important that we teach this in a way that humanizes, that so folks can understand the level of injustice. So I'm really sitting with that in reflection of, you know, of how feelings, emotions, and experiences, the heaviness, the reality. Yeah, that's it. I love these questions about learning, these questions about deep reflection. I feel that we don't have enough time to do this. Like, really, it takes space. It takes slowing down. It takes being intentional. And I'm so appreciative of these questions because these questions, you know, require an action in order to actually answer them. So, I'm sitting here in the morning thinking about these questions. I tend to be someone who does deep reflections. I just finished writing for an hour about my day yesterday, processing and thinking about the lessons, thinking about the emotions, thinking about how I show up and noticing. And this is a practice that I've done for the last 6 years with a friend, a teacher friend, who's up in Northern California. We've been friends for years. And so this act of reflection, this act of thinking, so that answers the first question. And how do I engage with my own reflection? I'm constantly thinking about what's going on. I'm constantly reflecting on what does this mean? I'm constantly going within as things unfold so that I can respond in a way that is intentional, in a way that will honor me, that will honor the folks around me, and also honor the world, right? Deep intentionality around peace, feeling peace, and it comes from me going within and being quiet and not being overwhelmed and not rushing. And how do I engage my my own empathy? I think that is the same tool, right? The idea is, I don't drive, so I walk. I walk the streets. I'm constantly engaging in community. I take the bus. I'm constantly engaging in that. I take Greyhound. I've been on the Greyhound a few times in the last few weeks. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about being with others. So there is this really, really, really powerful idea of physicality when it comes to empathy, like, you know, being in it, seeing it, connecting with it in a real way so that I am not separate. I long for that. I long for the collective nature of that, for people to understand me and I understand them, right? There's, and in many ways, that is the empathy, right? Is the idea of being together. How do I engage my own learning? Of course, being part of this, being part of this beautiful community of learning. I constantly read. I read 100 books a year and I document. I am constantly searching out, especially ethnic studies, searching out folks who are doing the work and attending. I love going to these events and learning more. I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly engaging with what I teach so that I can learn more, especially as ethnic studies. It's like I want to better myself. I want to transform, and I only can do that through learning, through continuing to learn. How do you engage your audience? I engage my audience through stillness, meditation. I engage my audience through slowing down, listening to themselves, being curious. So 22 years in, it's about being not about causing someone to learn something from me, but to facilitate an experience where the learning is held and honored and revered. And then that's exactly how I also teach the students. As I become 22 years more comfortable with my pedagogical style, with my lifestyle, with what I know to be maybe the necessary unfolding of what education should be, is I bring students into that. And it has been the most powerful thing, especially during this pandemic, to listen to myself and to say what, yes, this is all that's required, but what is really required? So, yeah. Thank you. So I want to talk about process. The process as a teacher of 20, this is going my 22nd year. I really want to think about process, right? The what are students doing, right? The relevancy. I want what they're doing to be meaningful. The longer I've done this, the more years in, I think I'm centering the students more than ever. And I want there to be value. I want them to be motivated in their own learning as a result of the process, right? I think that's the essence, is the process. What are we doing here with the content? What are we doing with the hard history? What are we doing? What is the point? Right? And there's a process in that. So I constantly am thinking about, what that will look like. And I think that the process, first of all, is creating curiosity, right? So how does this relate to you? What is this about? Why do you want to know this? And that is the process, right? The process is the curiosity, is the fielding for wanting to learn, right? What is this about, and why do I need to know it, and how can I apply it, right? So there's a utility. The process is that we are going to use this knowledge. This knowledge is going to not only be felt and experienced, but it's also going to be used, and there's going to be a consciousness around it. So how do I execute that plan? I find in, especially this past year in the pandemic with all online is really a lot of conversation, a lot of inquiry, a lot of questioning. So that is what that looks like, and also, getting them to connect it to their own lives, right? So there's this deep curiosity, there's this willingness to know, there's an idea that by knowing this, they can contribute to changing an outcome, or by they could change history in essence, they can change, you know, how the world is created or how it is built, right? So that's what the learning becomes. The learning becomes utilities. It becomes skills. It becomes like a hammer and a, you know, hammer and an anvil, if you will, like you can use these to navigate in a certain way. So less information, more process, more emotion, more, you know, internalizing this information. And I think that comes through facilitated. How can we maximize the power of process is constantly communicating about it, constantly evaluating it, constantly reflecting on it, constantly asking, what are we doing here? Right. What is the purpose? What is the, you know, and I think that's what youth want. They want this sense of, you know, of why does this matter? Or why are we doing this? It can't be about information anymore. It has to be about a process. This idea of practice, right? Practice and process. What skills are being acquired? You know, I think there's this idea of learning, this idea of like learning the content, right? Like the information, how you feel about the information, why is the information necessary? How can it be applied, right? And then there's also skills, right? There's skills in terms of what needs to be, you know, skills that, you know, what is required, right? So what is required, you know, what are the skills that are acquired in the process of the learning, right? So these are deep questions in terms of I think as I develop my own practice, or I start to think about my own teaching and learning, is the hidden curriculum, or what I see as the learning practice, is I want students to return to themselves. I want there to be a process in which they decolonize, that they say, you know what, the answer does not live outside of me. The answer lives inside of me. There's a sacredness to that. That's just, there's a sacredness to them being their own North Star. There's a sacredness in knowing that if they listen to themselves, and that will guide them to what they need to learn, or the skills that they need to learn to create the life that they want to live. So there is this, you know, this kind of gestalt, if you will, of trusting yourself. So what is the practice, right? The practice is we're going to trust ourselves. And so especially in terms of ethnic studies and teaching ethnic studies, you know, I allow the students to figure out how they want to show me what they have learned. And so there is this real letting go of this is what you need to do and show me that you learned it. And they have to come up with the process of determining how they want to show me what they learned, right? So we have co-created. There's a real lack of hierarchy within the process of the learning and the practice, right? So the processes we've co-created, the process we has co-facilitated, the process we've become curious, the process has been, it's not top down. And then the practice is listening to yourself to show how you want to interpret what you learn. So again, the goal being internalizing this information so that it belongs to them. It's like property, like learning is property. It's like learning is the physicality of property is, you know, it becomes their own. I want this education to become theirs. So that is the process is the curiosity, the process is the co-creation, and then the practice is them listening to themselves and creating something that shows that which they have listened to themselves. And in the context of, you know, tough history, and the is again, whose voice is there, who is centered, you know, it's a reclaiming of community. It's a reclaiming of, what is already known. It's a reclaiming of the people as opposed to the institution. So that is all embedded in that process for me and for what I bring to the classroom. This is the end of this podcast for NEH. It's been interesting reflecting, recording here, and putting it out into the world. It's maybe I have something to say.